Brother Jeremy was not able to make it today, and so I'll read the scripture for you, and you may remain seated. From the 17th chapter of John, verses 20 through 23. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. ABC correspondent Sam Donaldson was interviewing a young African-American soldier in a tank platoon in the eve of a battle, the Battle of Desert Storm. And Donaldson asked this individual, "How do you think the battle will go? Are you afraid?" And the soldier replied, "We'll do okay. We're well trained, and I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid because I'm with my family." The other soldiers shouted, "Tell him again. He didn't hear you." And the soldier repeated, "This is my family, and we'll take care of each other." It was Colin Powell who told this story, and these are Colin Powell's words. "The story never fails to touch me or the audience. It is a metaphor for what we have to do as a nation. We have to start thinking of America as a family. We have to stop screeching at each other, stop hurting each other, and instead start caring for, sacrificing for, and sharing with each other. We have to stop constantly criticizing, which is the way of the malcontent, and instead get back to the can-do attitude that made America. We have to keep trying and risk failing in order to solve the country's problems. We cannot move forward if cynics and critics swoop down and pick apart anything that goes wrong to a point where we lose sight of what's right, decent, and uniquely good about America." Those words from Colin Powell about coming together as a nation apply even more emphatically to the body of Christ. In the Garden of Gethsemane, following this Last Supper that we're celebrating today, Jesus was praying for the disciples. But then in verse 20, he starts praying for you and me. And this prayer, we sometimes refer to as the high priestly prayer of Jesus, is an extraordinary prayer, a prayer for unity. He says in verses 20 and 21, "My prayer is not for them alone," speaking of the disciples. "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me." It's noteworthy that Jesus refers to the world, the cosmos, as understanding and believing that Jesus has been sent by the Father into this world. And that's what our unity helps the world to know and to understand, is that Jesus has been sent by the Father to us. The word for believe, pistuo, in the Greek, is to affirm or to have confidence or to trust. So you have absolutely no doubt that Jesus came into this world because the Father sent him to us. How do we get unity? If unity is the way that we're supposed to demonstrate to the world that God was sent by the Father, Jesus Christ was sent into this world to die for our sins. Well, unity results from giving up what you want in order that everyone is blessed. It's the act of making a sacrifice. In Acts 20, verse 35, we hear the words of Jesus, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And this isn't just talking about money. It's not just talking about material possessions. It's referring to making a sacrifice on behalf of others. So what the Word of God is saying is sacrifice on behalf of others so that you might have unity one with another. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." So if you're sacrificing yourself, it is an act of worship unto God. Jesus' prayer in John 17 is for our unity, that we may be one. And the motive of this prayer is love. It says in verse 26 of John 17, "I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." So this is about God's love for you and for me, which sent Jesus Christ into the world. He wants that love to be inside of us, and it is when we're in unity. This love sent Jesus Christ to the cross. We read in Romans 5, verse 8, "God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So in the 22nd verse of John 17, we read these words, this prayer of Jesus: "I have given them glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one." This is an important prayer. The word for one is heis in the Greek, and it means to be in agreement. I was in a church a long time ago where at Christmas time, a group of people got together and decorated the front of the sanctuary. There were poinsettias everywhere, and it was gorgeous. And as we worshiped God in that place, we thought how beautiful was the sanctuary. And then some new believers said to us, "We would like to be baptized." And so what we had to do in order to baptize them was take away all of the poinsettias and put them aside so that we could set up the baptistry. And you know, when that happened, some people were unhappy with me. They were unhappy that we took down the poinsettias, that we undid all the decorations that they did. And I scratched my head and I said to myself, "I wonder if these people know why we're here. What is our purpose? Is it not to make disciples? Is it not to baptize? Our purpose is not to decorate." And that is a reminder to me that sometimes we're not in agreement on some things that are very, very, very minor. I went for a run yesterday, and about 5 minutes into the run, I noticed that I had a rock in my shoe. And I thought to myself, well, I can stop and I can take off my shoe and kick that out. And I thought to myself, I'm just going to go on. I'm not going to stop. So 4 miles later, I'm taking off my shoes and I noticed the rock that was inside of my shoe. It had given me so much pain for so long. It was hurting the body, like the body of Christ. And I pulled that rock out of my shoe, and you know how tiny it was? You could barely see it. And that's what happens so often in the family of God. The problems are so tiny, they're so small, that they should never, ever be brought up. And yet they are. And sometimes it causes disunity between people. And what Jesus is praying for here is unity. This word for glory, "the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one," is doxa. It's where you get the word doxology. What that word means is what evokes a good opinion. So are we bringing glory to God by the way we treat each other? That's one of the questions that's on the table for us this week. Are we bringing glory to God because of the way that we treat one another? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." I don't deserve any glory. No one in this room deserves any glory. All the glory should go to God. When people see our good works, they should look at us and say, wow, what a great God you serve. Isn't it amazing how good he is and what he's doing in your life? And that's the glory that we're talking about here. Now, this all results from ministry. If we're focused on ministry, Jesus gives to us, and he gives gifts, and he gives roles. It says in Ephesians 4, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. So Jesus gives gifts so that we can be in service on his behalf. Unity follows service. If I'm serving God, I'm too busy to be in conflict with someone else. Edgar Guest once said, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. And that's a good thought for you and me. He's seeing sermons in all of us. And I have the privilege of seeing many people in many forms of service throughout the week. On Tuesday morning, I was in the office and I saw Dick and Fred with Chris, and they were counting the offering. They spent the entire morning doing that. They gave up their morning in order to count the offering and to make sure all the I's were dotted and all the T's were crossed. It was a wonderful blessing just to see them there. But then in a few moments, Diane and Linda and Chuck came into the office and they picked up bags and bags of the Jesus movie DVD and they took them on Tuesday to over 400 homes. And you know, they didn't argue. They were too busy doing the work of God to do that. And then later in the week, Chris and Barb Wagner did the very same thing. They came in and they took out all these DVDs to neighbors so that they could see the Jesus movie. It's amazing what people around here do. We truly are a family in ministry. There is so much ministry going on here that maybe perhaps you don't even see it. But I'm blessed to be able to see it and to give testimony to it. And I thank God for you all. Jesus says in the 23rd verse of John 17 in this prayer something very important. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Our unity helps the world to believe in Jesus Christ. That's one of the most important outcomes of this prayer. Our unity helps the world to believe in Jesus Christ. It was E. Stanley Jones who once said, talk about what you believe and you have disunity. Talk about who you believe in and you have unity. Dear friends, we need to spend more of our time talking about Jesus. That's where the unity comes from, when we're talking about Jesus Christ. I can talk about his miracles. I can talk about his parables. I can talk about the moments where he stepped into the lives of people that no one else had time for, like the woman at the well in Sychar in Samaria. When I talk about what Jesus did, it makes me want to imitate him. And if I'm imitating Jesus, I don't have time to be in conflict with anyone else. I only have time to do what Jesus did. In Ephesians 2:20, we read that we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. So we're thinking of ourselves not just as a body, but as a building. And Christ is the cornerstone. It says in verse 21, in him the whole building is joined together. Without Jesus Christ holding us together, we'd be a house in ruins. This table is before us this morning, and it's reminding us that Jesus talked about the bread He referred to it as a symbol of his body. And the Bible tells us over and over again that we are the body of Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 12, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. When I came here today, I didn't leave any of my body parts behind. I brought them all with me. And that's how it is with the body of Christ. We're not to leave anyone out. We're not to leave anything behind. We're one body in Jesus Christ. When I was 7 years old, my Aunt Jean was dying. It was because of kidney disease. My Aunt Virginia, her sister, was qualified as a donor. And so they made arrangements for a kidney transplant. And in 1965, this was a very unusual surgery. They couldn't have the surgery in Ohio. They had to go to Boston, Massachusetts. And I have a cousin by the name of Philip, and he would tell me that his mom was given another 25 years of life because of what my Aunt Virginia did for her. And it's an amazing thought. I know that she used to call Jean up every morning at 7 o'clock to see how her kidney was doing. I once asked my Aunt Virginia if she was afraid to give up that kidney. And what she said to me was, the only thing I was afraid of was the plane ride. You see, God gave her the courage to do that. And that's how the body of Christ works. We're seeing this very same thing happen here in just a few days. One sister is sacrificing a kidney to save the life of another sister. The operation is September the 10th. And in that microcosm of the body of Christ, you're seeing how the body is supposed to work. It's all about sacrifice. It's all about giving up. It's all about unity. It's all about oneness. It reminds us that we are the body of Christ. And I'm grateful to God to be in a church family that is living in unity. Jesus prayed for unity. And all of you are the answer to that prayer that Jesus prayed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for unity. We thank you that it's how the world sees who you are and that you sent your Son into the world to die for our sins. As we come to this table, help us to remember it's a table of unity. We are the body of Christ. And as we see this bread and drink this cup, help us to remember, Heavenly Father, that we are one with one another and that we are one with you. We love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of communion is number 323, Let Us Break Bread Together. Will you please stand?